I originally actually hail from the Quad Cities, Moline, Illinois. I moved down here 7 years ago to go to UIS as a grad student. Since then, I've worked for the Commission on Volunteerism, where I oversee AmeriCorps and volunteerism throughout the state. In terms of the school board, I originally went to school to be a teacher. So I, up until last year, had a teaching certificate. And since I wasn't teaching anymore, I still wanted to get involved in education. So I felt that this was the best way to do it. So 2 years ago, I ran, and then this year, I ran again. I live up on the north end of town with my wife, Amber, and my daughter, Anastasia.
And so give us a bit of an update. We've had a recent meeting here on the superintendent search. Obviously, that's on everybody's mind. When it comes to District 186, replacing Walter Milton with a new permanent superintendent, tell us a little bit about the timeline we're looking at now.
Recently, we voted on the search firm and the timeline, and we've begun that search. Currently, we've started the search. And with that, the first thing that's going to happen is we're going to work with that search firm to put together focus groups, to have open community meetings, to start gathering information about what the community wants to see from a superintendent. They'll also be meeting with the board members one-on-one to gather our information and get an idea of what we're looking for. And then here in the late summer, we'll start picking up applications. We anticipate hopefully having anywhere between 70 to 100 applications come in. Of those will be narrowed down by the search firm to a few, 6 to 7, and then we will interview those initially, and then we'll come up with some finalists, and those finalists will interview with us again, but also with the community as well. So the hope is to have somebody selected December, and then the firm hire date would be somewhere on July 1, 2014, or prior to that, depending on what that person's needs are in terms of their current employment. Personally, I would like to have gone for an earlier date. I would like to have seen the superintendent start in January. The reason behind that is we're going to now have to have two interim superintendents because our current interim superintendent, Bob Lemming, is a retiree. So around December time, he's going to run out of his days that he can serve us. So we're going to have to bring somebody else on sooner or later.
Do you think that this search has been conducted in a timely manner, or should the previous school board have gotten the ball rolling a bit quicker here?
Yeah, I was one of the folks who was put in charge of determining how we want to do this search with the previous board. And I pushed to get that search going quicker. Unfortunately, with the election time and everything else, it didn't happen. I am happy now that this new board has decided to go with a national search and go with a provider that will be able to do it for us. I think that's the most cost-effective way of doing things, and it's going to get us the largest pool of candidates.
So in your opinion, in the next couple years, what are the biggest obstacles facing Springfield Public Schools? I'm sure finding someone to head them is probably on the top of that list, but other than the superintendent search?
The couple of things that we're going to have to deal with right off the bat is the budget itself. Because of the economy, because the state hasn't been funding us at the levels it should have been funding us at, we've had to dip into our reserves. And we're to a point where we can't dip much more. I think based on what I have seen in terms of the budget, we're going to have about $1 million left in the education fund when this year's up. So in order to keep or raise that amount that's going to be at the end of 14-15, we're going to have to make reductions again. So that's going to be the biggest task that this board's going to have to face in terms of planning for the long term. And we also need to look not only at 14-15, but planning on building up those reserves again. Another key factor we're going to need to look at as a city is our facilities. We have quite a few older schools. We just need to, as a community, decide what's more important to us, keeping these older buildings the way they are, or looking at Ridgely, the new Enos, the new Matheny-Withrow, and seeing that if we put a little bit more into these schools, we can have some state-of-the-art buildings that are going to do a better job at educating our students.
I'm Rachel Otwell. You are listening to WUIS, and we are speaking with Scott McFarland. He is a member of the Springfield School Board. And Scott, I wanted to ask about cuts. Where do you cut first?
We're going to have more cuts. With only having $1 million in the education fund, that's not going to cover the spread. So we're going to be looking at anywhere between, I've heard, $3 to $7 million in cuts for 14-15. We already did about $5 or $6 million, depending on how things shake out for 13-14. So we're going to have to look at more of that. The key is making sure that those cuts are legitimate cuts that are going to stay. That doesn't happen often when you are starting to cut teachers, because if you look at how this works, yes, we'll remove that teaching position, but we're going to have to open up another position somewhere else because the kids still need to be taught. So a lot of the times you'll remove a position over here and it'll pop up in another school. So that's where it comes to, we're going to have to make cuts that are going to be based more, again, on the top down, because that's where the cuts can be legitimate. If you remove an administrative position, you're not going to have to fill it again because the students aren't directly impacted on a day-to-day basis by that administrative position. In the terms of where we can get the most impact in the cut, that's where it is. And when we look at, we shut down two schools, and the grand scheme of things, that may save us $500,000. We have a $200 million budget. So, yes, it's a drastic cut, and it gets headlines in the paper, but at the end of the day, it didn't do much for us. So we're going to have to find better ways to do it. But we can't cut our way to better education for our kids. And that's, again, where the community is going to have to come in and say, either continue to cut or enough is enough.
Capital College Prep Academy was in your district. That school is one that closed down at the end of the school year. Do you think that was a fair move?
We were told initially by the Community Budget Review Committee that it would be a savings of $1.4 million to shut down CCPA. When you factor again moving all those students to all the middle schools and moving those teachers to account for the increased class sizes, it may amount to maybe $300,000 to $600,000, which sounds like a pretty penny. But again, that's a fraction of a $200 million budget. So we can find those cost savings elsewhere than having to move kids out of their neighborhoods, out of the schools that they may have been for all of their educational careers, and having to force them into a new location that may be quite a bit farther away for the parents, maybe an area that they're not wanting to move into. And also not just for the students and parents, but again, you know, the people in the north and east side of towns need more help, not less. So when you leave a building that's shuttered up and just being a blight on the area, it's terrible for that part of the community, and it's a cycle. So we'll continue to have less people moving into those areas. With 10th Street Corridor, it's the same idea. We'll have less people moving into those areas and more people moving out to the west side of town. And so we will continue to see, unfortunately, those unbalanced cuts until the school board determines that we don't need to make those unbalanced cuts. And my hope is with this new school board is we'll see a new direction.
And Scott McFarland, is there any insight you can share, having been a member of the previous school board, when it came to making that decision? Obviously, you were probably opposed to it.
I was.
But being a part of that decision-making process, anything you can say that maybe would shed some light as far as the actual reasoning behind this?
I asked the very same question several meetings when we were talking about these cuts in February. You can't show me that all of the cuts that we made last year have to come out of one side of the town. And I definitely don't want to make this an us versus them. What's good for Cokie Mill is going to be good for Sagamon Avenue in the grand scheme of things. We're all in this together. But when all of the major cuts come out of a 2-mile radius in one section of town, it definitely looks like the decision making was not done to best impact the entire city. And that's one of the reasons why I fought against the cuts. Unfortunately, I was overruled by a majority of the board.
And when you say one group of people too, it said that the CCPA, not to belabor the point, but had a lot of there's a lot of low-income students in the district.
Yes.
Regardless.
Oh, yes.
But especially in that area.
Yeah, and that was one of the points of CCPA, was to find students who could be college-bound if they were given the right opportunities that they may not have been getting in their home schools. And it seemed to be working. You know, we've had a lot of talks about test scores, but when you look at those students, they were showing improvement. So that system was working. Now, I believe that we need to replicate, not shut down, those types of programs. I want to see all of our students be able to have the same kind of impact that those CCPA students had. In terms of looking at the poverty levels and all of that, yes, it is across the city. We have a high poverty rate that we are working with in our schools. And that comes from being an urban school district. It's not something that's not shared by many of our colleagues around the country. We need to be able to plan for that. But It seems to me, and I'm not going to point fingers at anybody, I think it was more of a group thing than anything else, but it seems to me that in the terms of shutting something down, it was probably easier to shut that part of town down in terms of those schools, because when you have parents over there who are more concerned with making sure they have food on the plates than being able to come to a board meeting, that their voice is not going to be heard.
You served on the previous board, which was found to be in violation of the Open Meetings Act by signing a separation agreement with previous Superintendent Walter Milton behind closed doors. The board didn't get along with him as a whole, and by the way meetings were handled, it appeared some were at odds with one another. What do you think should have been done differently?
First off, I don't think the way that the superintendent position was handled was correct. You know, we find ourselves now paying legitimately for two superintendents because we had to end a contract early because a majority of the board felt that was the right case. I spoke out against that both in private and publicly. And unfortunately, again, I was overruled in that. So now we are looking for a new superintendent while still paying for the previous. In terms of openness, we need to be as transparent as possible. And that means that executive sessions should not be something that we look to find ways to use them. They should be only used when we need to, and that's when we're being sued, when we're dealing with specific personnel, and when we're dealing with real estate issues. That's it. And if we're trying to find a way to finagle another issue into that executive session, that's a problem. I could have done a better job in speaking out about it publicly. I wish I had. In terms of how things went, it was one of those where a majority of the board wanted to move in this direction. And when you have four or five votes, that's where your direction's going to move. I believe the community, though, did speak up with their votes and said that we want to go into a different direction. So I'm happy to be a part of this new board. I think we have some new members who are going to have to build up experience. But they seem, from my just personal view, they seem to be more willing to be open. And they seem to, again, instead of looking for excuses to use executive sessions, they're looking for reasons not to use executive sessions. And that's moving in the right direction.